Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Got some good news from Google. You never thought I'd say that, did you? I never thought I would say that. Well, let's get right into the article. We see some Google employees as a percentage, a very small percentage, but it's still great news. They're pushing back against the mandates, and they're doing it in a manifesto that went to upper management, hopefully the CEO. The CEO or the COO reads it as well, and they articulate their views extremely well. And maybe they've been watching the Rebel Capitalist channel, who knows? But let's get into the article and see what they're saying. And the great thing about this is it illustrates not everyone is in favor of these mandates that has a certain political leaning. Now, I don't want to just assume that every single person that works at Google is kind of progressive or kind of a Bernie Sanders type, but you can imagine probably a good majority are. And I'm sure there's some libertarians in there, but they had 600 people sign this a petition, I guess, or this manifesto, whatever you want to call it. So I think it really illustrates the point that although someone can be very pro medicine, they can be very, very anti-mandate because they believe in individualism. They don't believe in this push towards authoritarianism that we're seeing that is completely anti-science when you get down to it. But let's get into the article. Several hundred Google employees sign manifesto against widened cervical sickness mandates. Key talking points. We went over that. This is according to an internal communications viewed by CNBC. Google's global security VP said all employees working directly or indirectly with federal government contracts will require the medicine. And I guess Google is part of that group that works directly with the government, according to them. And they say even those working from home, so this is a law from the government that Google is implementing. And it just goes to show you that these mandates coming down from the central planners in the government have nothing to do with health. They really have nothing to do with safety. They have everything to do with power, control, and they have everything to do with making people's lives miserable who disobey. That's obviously what they're doing if they're requiring people that are working from home. For heaven's sakes, what does that have to do with anything? The answer is it doesn't. And therefore, it's blatantly obvious their priority is not reducing the spread of the cervical sickness. It's simply either embarrassing these people, calling them out, or in my opinion, just making their life miserable just because they had the audacity to disobey and stand up for individual sovereignty. Next key point, Google's leadership faces the challenge of balancing a contingent of its workforce that refuses the medicine while simultaneously trying to win healthcare deals. See, there you go. So, oh man, I don't know if you guys watched the videos I did last week, but we talked about some of the politicians that have actually come out in British Columbia and Canada and openly admitted that the mandates have nothing to do directly with health. It's just trying to punk people and coerce them into doing what the government wants them to do. And there's been officials in Israel, I believe, that have admitted the exact same thing. And when you look at these policies, it totally makes sense. There is no way that you could argue that these mandates will directly reduce the rate of transmission to a significant degree, especially when you do a cost-benefit analysis. The benefit, very, very small, if any. The cost, extremely large, especially when you consider the power and control that you are giving to an authoritarian government. What most of the people that agree or that are for these mandates, what they don't realize is that same power and control that you are now giving to the Biden administration, if Trump were to win in 2024, he's going to use that same power and control against you. So it's you've got to think about the future. What these people do is they're just blind to anything further out than 6 months. If it's not right in front of their face, they just think that it'll never happen. So I'm going to cede all of this power to the government because I like the guy in charge, or I like the group in charge. They're part of my tribe. This is my religion. But what they don't understand is the person that is the antithesis of their tribe can get power in the next few years, and then they can use all of the authority you granted to your tribe. They can use that against you, your kids, and your grandkids in decades to come. That's what really, really goes over their head. They don't even acknowledge that. But again, I want to stay focused here. You can see that it's trying to win healthcare deals. So whether it's the politicians, and Jordan Peterson, by the way, came out the other day. I guess he had an extensive conversation with one of the politicians in Canada. And he asked them, you know, from a health standpoint, what data are you guys going off? What facts? And the guy said, well, none. What we're doing is we're just looking at what polls well, and then we're just doing that because we want to get reelected. That's basically what he said. So the mandates in Canada are popular, therefore, with the majority of the people there. Therefore, the politicians just do them in hopes to get reelected. That's nothing whatsoever to do with health. And you can see that what Google is doing most likely has nothing to do with health either. It has to do with them winning healthcare deals in the future or gaining favor with the government. It's just, it's this corporatism that we're seeing here. The exact same thing we saw in Germany in the 1930s. So we already discussed this. Several hundred Google employees signed this manifesto. The Biden administration has ordered U.S. companies with more, 100 employees, we know that, to either have the medicine or get regularly tested. And by the way, I also want to point out that that regulation that they're trying to push through, this requires the people who get regularly tested to wear masks, just so you can see who's obeying and who's disobeying, to create even more divisiveness than we already have. And by the way, they have to know the facts around this, that the fully medicated, if they have a breakthrough case, their viral load is the exact same as someone else. So basically what they're saying, except for they have never done the tests on the people who have already had the cerveza sickness. Remember, that's the group. That's the red flag. They always lump those people in with all the other undesirables or deplorables, if you will, that have chosen not to get the medicine. They don't look at that nuance, which shows you that it's all about propaganda whenever you see that. But my point here is that they're sitting there and they're saying that they have these employees that are have chosen to get the medicine. They can come in and spread the cerveza sickness. No problem. We don't care about them spreading the cerveza sickness because they've obeyed. The only thing we care about are those other people who have disobeyed our orders. That's really what this boils down to. And of course, that really translates into power and control and the ability to micromanage your life. And here we go. According to Chris Rakow, Google VP of Security, the medicines are key to our ability to enable a safe return to office for everyone and minimize the spread. Where are you getting that, Chris? I mean, this is just this bumper sticker talking point that has been said so many times in the mainstream media that people just assume that it's true. But you look at the actual facts and you say, wait a minute, what is he talking about? This is not reality. It's just unbelievable. I was only able to find one study, and I was looking at this last night, which actually compared people who have had the cerveza sickness to people who have had the medicine and the rate at which they had let's say a second or a breakthrough case of the cerveza sickness. And now, granted, this was prior to the most recent strain, and I think that's intentional. I don't think they want to do any studies because they don't want to do a study that would draw a conclusion that is against their narrative. But this was going back several months, and they said, okay, well, the group that has already had the cerveza sickness, they're twice as likely. Okay, so let's just say the number goes from 2% to 4%. So they're twice as likely. Okay, but what they're not telling you is that 2%, they're not going to have any symptoms. So, or most likely they're not. So what are they going to do? They have the same viral load. They're going to go to the parties. They're going to go to work. They're going to go to the grocery store. They're going to go to all these places. And they're most likely going to spread the cerveza sickness. Where if someone who has chosen not to get the medicine and maybe has not had the cerveza sickness in the past, well, if they get it, then they're most likely going to, they're going to know it. They're going to get some symptoms. So what are they going to do? They're going to stay home. So even if you have a rate of, if it's double the rate or whatever it is, the bottom line is that you have to take that into consideration. And when you do, the data gets very, very murky, the little data that we do have. And so to sit here and say definitively that this policy is going to reduce the spread is just false. It's just absolutely false. And it just shows the intellectual dishonesty of the mainstream media and those people like Mr. Rakow here, who are just parroting every single word, knowing most likely that it's incorrect or not even taking the time to do the research because they want those big deals from the healthcare companies and from the government in the future. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. So this Rakow character says the company is already implementing the requirements. So the Biden deal was minimal. Again, which I think is kind of a dog whistle to the administration saying, hey, guys, we're obeying. Give us those contracts in the future. His email gave a deadline, November 12th, to request exemptions for religious beliefs, okay? Manifesto with Google, which has been signed by 600 employees, asks company leaders to retract the mandate and create a new one that is inclusive, quote-unquote, of all Googlers. I like how they use that. I think it's obvious they use that word intentionally, inclusive, and we're going to get into that more when we read some of the quotes from the manifesto itself. I think that's a very intentional word, and well done to the author there. Arguing leadership's decision will have to outsize influence in corporate America. It also calls on employees to oppose the mandate as a matter of principle. Golf clap, everyone. I've been talking about sticking to principles and why that is so important on several videos over the last few weeks. And it's all about principle. We can't just wake up in the morning and try to willy-nilly decide what laws we agree with and which ones we don't, based on which way the wind is blowing, or how good of a morning we had, or how well we're getting along with our girlfriend or our boyfriend or something. That's basically what it boils down to. That's what's happening right now in the United States and in other places around the world. So what should be the guiding light? What should be the North Star? It should be principle. What principles do we agree with as a society? And then let's make the laws around those principles. And if there are laws that don't fall in line with those principles, then they are not going to be implemented, plain and simple. And my principle would pretty much be private property. or maybe to abandon or to get rid of or to ignore, well, to get rid of, I shouldn't say ignore, but to get rid of all victimless crime. I think that would be another way to say it, that if I am not affect, or if what I am doing isn't affecting you in any way, shape, or form, then it should be legal. And if it does affect you, then great. We've got a way to adjudicate that in a court of law. And if I am liable, then I should be financially liable or whatever to the damage that I did to your personal property, including your body. And so, so that means seatbelt laws gone. That means helmet laws gone. And that would also mean this mandate gone. And if you can prove somehow that you got the cerveza sickness from someone and they did that intentionally or whatever it was, great. You can take them to court. Good luck with that one, because you're not going to get very far, but that's your right. I think that would be an approach based on principles. And what that's going to do is that's going to restrict the size of government moving forward. So yes, there is some downside. Yes, there's a cost-benefit analysis. Is that perfect? Absolutely not. But we have to realize that we are imperfect human beings living in an imperfect world. So we've got to take the least bad option possible. And I think that's when you just stick with these principles. It also tells employees to not let the policy alter their decision. That's a big point here. I mean, if you've got someone that feels as or that thinks the risk reward does not make sense for them, maybe they're they have some sort of allergic reaction to these types of medicines. Maybe they're just extremely healthy and 22 years old, and they look at people who espouse this mainstream narrative, they never acknowledge that there are any side effects whatsoever, which obviously there are. Now, they may be minimal, but there are side effects. So you, as a healthy 22-year-old, you've got to look at that and say, hey, does this make a lot of sense? But then think about that. If you come to the conclusion that it doesn't, now all of a sudden you're working for a company that's forcing you to do something that you don't want to do, that should be your private business. You see, we're not dealing with something that affects the quality of your job or how well you're performing. We're dealing with something that where you're injecting a foreign substance into your body. And, you know, this manifesto will go into this well in just a moment, where they say that's none of Google's business. It's none of Google's business to even know what I am injecting into my body. I mean, you can imagine if Google required their employees to give them other health records and to disclose something like any diseases they've had in the past. I mean, you would have an absolute uproar, and that would be justified. And here's where you get some editorial from the propagandists at CNBC. Despite the medication's proven effectiveness in high-level protection against hospital, yes, granted, it is very effective there. That is the benefit. What are the costs? They never go over the costs. They just go over the benefits. Again, it's just where you know without a shadow of a doubt that it's propaganda. This is not data. The country is struggling to persuade more than 60 million who have chosen not to get the medicine. That's their choice. If they're taking a higher risk, so be it. They're not transmitting it at a higher rate than those, or at least there's a good portion of those 60 million that are most likely not transmitting it at any higher rate. And if they are, they're transmitting it to people that have chosen to take the same risk. So what's the problem here? And here you go. The company has taken other steps to persuade employees. For instance, Joe Cava, vice president of data centers at Google, announced a $5,000 incentive to a five. So basically, you get the medicine and we'll give you $5,000. So obviously, the argument here is if the risk reward made sense, would you have to pay people $5,000 to do this? I mean, seriously, if we had some sort of Let's say if we had a vaccine for cancer, would you have to pay people $5,000 to take it? I mean, the answer is unequivocally no. So what we're dealing with here has much different risk reward than the media would lead you to believe. And here is where the manifesto cites this Rakow gentleman and says, and uses a quote from him: "Today, Encompass products and services spanning ads, cloud maps, workspace, and more. All employees working directly or indirectly." So he's admitting that there are portions of Google that work directly with the government, will require the medicine, even if they're working from home. A frequent test is not an alternative, he added. So then the authors state that they completely disagree. And they say, "I believe that Sundar's mandate is deeply flawed." The manifesto calls company leadership coercive and the antithesis of inclusion. Bravo. Exactly right. Hit the nail on the head. In a section titled "Respect the User," the authors write that the mandate of barring Googlers from the office publicly and possibly embarrassingly exposes a private choice, as it would be difficult for the Googlers not to reveal why they can't return. The author, and maybe that's the point there with the government, by the way, that's creating that divisiveness I was talking about earlier. The author also argues the mandates violate the company's principles of inclusiveness. So they can use inclusiveness in a way that they want to, that fits their narrative. But if the inclusiveness involves something they disagree with, well, then they're just going to sweep it under the rug. And it's fantastic that the manifesto pointed that out. It's just straight hypocrisy. Such Googlers may never feel comfortable expressing their true sentiments about the company's policy and other unrelated sensitive topics. This results in silenced perspective and exacerbates the internal ideological echo chamber, which folks both inside and outside of Google have observed for years. The manifesto also exposes Google having a record of employees' status. In other words, Google demanding that they get their employees' medical records. At no time in the past would that have been okay. "I do not believe Google should be privy to the health and medical history of Googlers, and the status is no exception. Google has asked employees to upload their status to Google's environmental health and safety team, even if they already uploaded it to One Medical, one of Google's benefits providers, according to internal documentation." So there you have to kind of wonder, okay, what's going on here? It's already uploaded to One Medical, which seems to be okay for everyone in society, or let's say in California or whatever businesses require this. But yet for Google, they want additional verification to where they have the records. I mean, okay, are they trying to figure out who is obeying and who is not obeying? That's what it looks like. The author then argues that the mandates may be the start of a slippery slope, paving the way for other intrusive measures. Exactly. I've been saying that I'm blue in the face for the last 6 months. A common line of argument among people opposed to the mandate. So, yeah, well, I would disagree with that slightly. I would rephrase that. That's not a common line of argument among people opposed to the mandates. That's a common line of argument among people who have studied history, for heaven's sakes. Jeez, for people who are actually using critical thinking. My goodness. Yeah, it normalizes medical interventions, compulsion, not only for the survey sickness, but future medical procedures, and possibly even non-medicine interventions by extension. Absolutely. It justifies the principle of division and unequal treatment to Googlers based on their personal beliefs and decisions. The implications are chilling. Due to its presence as an industry leader, Google's mandate will influence companies around the world to consider these as acceptable trade-offs. There you go. Very, very well said. Now, I think I've got some others, but in the sake of time, we'll leave it at that. I just wanted to give you guys the good news. There's a lot of people and individuals, entities that are pushing towards authoritarianism, but there's an increasing amount of people that are pushing back and standing up for the rights of the individual. And I truly believe that people who value freedom over safety are the silent majority. And I think this article illustrates that. So guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure you're always standing up and fighting for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism.